From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
Hello. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Today, my guest on the journey is Maxine Williams, Global Director of Diversity for Facebook. Ms. Williams, you've had a largely nonlinear career, including what I would like to refer to as a little bit of everything, but it has included working in media, acting, law. Now, obviously, you're with Facebook, and you've also had a very varied educational experience, which obviously took you to Yale University. But more importantly, you were able to travel here to what we like to refer to as the capstone to participate in other activities outside of our
shall
instructional
remain
environment.
Nameless.
Exactly. So tell me a little bit about your early journey. I know you're from Trinidad as I am, but where exactly in Trinidad? And tell us a little bit about your schooling and, you know, what probably opened up your world to the possibilities that you have since participated in.
When I look at where I am now doing diversity work on a global level, it's clear that coming from such a incredibly diverse, cosmopolitan place as Trinidad, you know, living on a small island with so many different people from so many different backgrounds had to have influenced that. And I came from an area called Woodbrook in Porto, Spain, which is also kind of a heartbeat for carnival, which again is a blending of people and a celebration of life. I came from a family. My grandfather was somebody called John Buddy Williams, who put the bass in Calypso. My father was a musician, Monty Williams, a band called Casanovas. On my mother's side, she's an Awan. Max Awan had a very popular band for a long time. So this kind of joy for life and celebrating people was something that was in my DNA. And, you know, when you grow up in a place like that, coming through a history of servitude, indentured servants, slavery, we develop a real sense of taking risk, of doing what we can to get to the next level. And education at that time, and still should be, was the key to moving on, to doing something with yourself. And so my mother was a single mother, three of us, and she absolutely instilled in us that the most important thing was to learn your books, as they would say, right? If you were singing a song too long in the car, she would turn around and say, oh, you know the lyrics to that song. Hope you know your book so. I heard that line a million times. If you came home with a 95, it was, who have the other five? No, that's not good enough. So excellence was always something that we were made to strive for. And essentially, I beat my books at St. Joseph's Convent, Port of Spain. And from there, took it every stage, just trying to figure out what was the next best challenge for me. I always wanted to step my game up. So it was never about where I was in terms of geography, but where I could find another challenge. So I moved from St. Joseph's Convent, Port of Spain, to Yale University. When I left Yale, I went to live in Haiti because I saw that that was the country in our region that needed the most help. And I felt that everyone should throw their lot in where the help was needed. It wasn't about you, it was about them. While I was in Haiti, there was a coup and I had to leave. And that's what led me to apply for the Rhodes Scholarship from the Commonwealth Caribbean. And I went to Oxford and studied law. When I finished that, I went back to the Caribbean and ran a human rights organization for a couple of years, working all over the region. Left there, I went to work in Trinidad, doing largely industrial relations. I was a lawyer practicing a lot in industrial court. And again, learning there, you know, what it was like to be a union member, what life for people who were striving themselves to get to their next stage was, to better themselves, and how I could help them with the education I had gotten. Right. And that then took me to a number of different places.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about your educational experience at Yale. We have, you know, several young people on this campus that we feel extremely proud about in terms of their educational journey. But give me your perspective in terms of what was that challenge like at Yale, and what then inspired you to go to Haiti as a result. It's clear that you wanted to have some service, but it has to be something at Yale that occurred that also kept that flame burning.
One of the best things about going to a place like Yale is that you meet people from all walks of life whose main objective is also excellence. So bright people who, if you look for them, you can find the mentors you need to fill the gaps in your own life. So as I said, I came from a single mother who, she didn't go to college herself. I took myself to Yale. You know, you would see these people from these dual income families where they were dropping them off first day, and they knew what to do because they had been on that road before. But I was going on a road that I had to find for myself. But you know, we talk so much about mentorship now, and we don't talk enough about how you prepare yourself to be a good mentee. And looking, asking for the help that you need is the first thing. And so what I saw at Yale was a lot of people who had these rich experiences, who had a lot to offer. And I figured out how to ask them for the things I needed to help me navigate. So, you know, from Yale, I built a group of friends who have been lifelong friends. I looked to people who were in the Caribbean Association at Yale, which we built together. I looked for people who were studying the type of subjects I was interested in, who maybe were a couple of years ahead of me. And I would literally ask. One of the most important things I did is my first semester at Yale, not understanding the landscape, you know, coming from this small country, not having role models. I got my first set of results back. And I went to somebody who I knew who was a junior from the Caribbean Association. And I said, are these grades good? Because I don't even know what the standard is here. Why? And he looked at them and he said, nah, boy, you have like a B plus in there and a B minus. You know, it's actually really possible to get A's here. Why? And most people would get A's. And from then I said, well, that's it. It's on now. Like, I ain't reach all the way here. My mother ain't sacrificed all of this for me to come here, for me to not get what you're supposed to get, right? Where is the other 5%? So, you know, I was asking questions. I'm a Rhodes Scholar today because there was another guy called Richard Drayton who was there in a master's program. And I literally ran into him on the road one day and I said, I haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. Where have you been? He said, I went to apply for this thing, Rhodes Scholarship. And actually, I've won. And I said, what is that? And I was already a junior and I'd never even heard of the Rhodes Scholarship because I didn't come from that background. And he said, no, it's this thing. You must apply for it when it's your turn. Here's what it is. Here's what you get from it. And when he described that I could get 3 years free education in Oxford if I won this thing, I said, well, I have to go for that too. But so what Yale provided was this group of people, this incredible, stimulating intellectual environment with people who are willing to help if you could figure out a way, if you knew yourself well enough to know where you needed help and could reach out for it, then you could build your road, your roadmap.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Maxine Williams, Global Director of Diversity for Facebook. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Throughout your experiences, it is clear that you were prepared very well to be the Global Director of Diversity at Facebook. I mean, just the breadth of your experiences alone, I think, prepared you there. When I look at the tech industry, I want to see more diversification. And clearly, that's a big part of what you and your colleagues at Facebook are after. Why is that important?
Because we know if we're trying to build products for the whole world, we cannot build the right products which will be relevant, which will be useful, which people will want, if we don't have the perspectives of the whole world represented in a building. And by that, I mean that when people have had different experiences, different backgrounds, they think about things differently. Your cognitive process is different. What we are seeking is to build a team of people who are cognitively as different from each other as possible so that what they produce in the end is something which is more creative and more dynamic than anybody could imagine alone. When I went to Yale University, we talked about before, I became a member of a group called the Purple Crayon of Yale, which is an improv comedy group. I did not know what improv was. I'd never heard of it. But again, one of these mentors had said to me, oh, you'd be good for this. You should try out for it. And I did that. And I remember being on stage one of the first days. And with improv, you have no script. You get up in front of a stage and you have to create something relying on your own wits and those of your team members. You have to trust your team members. And so I said, can I have a profession? The person said, NFL linesman. And I said, I thought, I don't even know what that is. I don't come from this culture. I have no idea what they're talking about. But I started pretending I worked in something called the natural food line at the cafeteria. And people laughed and thought it was hilarious that I had taken NFL and made it something else. But in fact, I didn't have something else to go on, right? My experience was different from the people who had grown up in this country and knew what the NFL was. And because of the difference, it was more interesting to people. So I know how much difference matters in building things that are delightful and relevant.
Right. Now, I consider you an honorary alum simply because I think you've spent some time on our campus probably expanding more of your social experiences than your academic experiences. Tell me, and our audience, what is your impression of Howard University? When you think of it as a senior executive at a major tech industry, I understand how you feel about diversity, but you've seen the school that I am passionate about that I now lead. Tell me what you think of it.
I think of Howard as an academic equivalent of Facebook in many ways. Facebook punches above its weight, as they say. People think of us as this big, powerful company, but actually we're just 7,000 people worldwide, right? But we know the power of those 7,000. I see Howard in the same way, that you are this powerful institution based on the people that you have here. But we need to figure out how to harness that, how to leverage that power. And so for me, coming from Facebook is a bit of an untapped source of great wealth. We have some alumni from Howard currently, but we don't have as much as I know we could have, given that I personally know the power of the minds that I've interacted with at Howard. I know what Howard can produce.
Now, when you go out on the road outside of the U.S., describe to me what the reaction to Facebook and the tech industry is, as opposed to what it, juxtaposing that against America.
It is very different. One of the little-known facts is that 85% of the people who use Facebook are not in North America. So you think of it as a North American company, but it isn't. It is truly a global company. There's some parts of the world in which the only internet people have is Facebook. Facebook literally connects lives and saves lives. People use it to find out about maternal health. People use it to find jobs. You know, in North America, maybe because many of the basic needs are met, people think of Facebook in a more of social way. But when you're out there, you know, recently a team of our executives went to really rural parts of India and met people who had no idea they worked at Facebook. And when people would come up to them and they'd say, "How are you?" Literally, the first thing from somebody's mouth would be, "I'm great. Facebook has changed my life." Not knowing that they're speaking to somebody who works at Facebook. Because now they're able to connect with people. You know, people are solving all sorts of medical issues by sending images to other people. They're making connections through Facebook. I come from Trinidad, where we have an Olympic swimmer called George Bovell. He developed a relationship with an Olympic swimmer in Uganda, and together they've built a program to reduce drowning. Like, those kind of connections are now possible because of Facebook. And so in some ways, people outside of America or North America, where they have more access to all kinds of things, people are using it to satisfy very basic and really important needs that connectivity allows.
Right. Oh, excellent. Now, you've referenced that you grew up in Trinidad, obviously, and the preparation that your, you know, parents gave you to do that. We still have lots of students here at Howard who are the first to come to college, the first to go to university. And I often find it a daunting task for them to expand their minds beyond what they started with to see who they can be. You know, so as you think of how Facebook and the tech industry begins to diversify, what are some specific mechanisms or tools that you're using to get that pipeline primed with people who may not necessarily recognize that their ceiling is too high? And what advice would you give them as we close?
Yeah, you've identified the exposure issue. We think, for instance, that the best way to get more women in computer science is to have more women in computer science. When you see it, you believe it, and you know you can do it. So again, Facebook itself is an amazing platform because so many people, you know, 1.3 billion people now use Facebook. We are now starting to use Facebook itself to reach people, to say to them, you can do this too. So we have a whole campaign now to reach out to young women who are entering college to try to get them to select a first year, an introductory computer science course, right? Something to get them started. And then we're developing other programs to get them to continue. We are developing a whole slew of new internships because we know that if people are exposed, if they have just a little insight into what is possible in this whole amazing new world, then they will see themselves in that world. And part of it is, if you don't see yourself there, you just take another route, not recognizing that this is a very important road. In a country where people are talking constantly about the fact that people need jobs, it is ridiculous that there is an industry that has more jobs than it can give away, and we don't see more underrepresented people trying to take those jobs. The jobs are there for you to take, right? So now my job, I say, is to let you know that and to help you get the tools to prepare, to up your skills, to come and get those jobs because they're waiting for you.
Thanks very much for being here. My guest today has been Maxine Williams, the Global Director of Diversity for Facebook. Your stops at Howard University are very much appreciated. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.